Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Last few weeks, we've been looking at the word generosity. And at the end of 1 Timothy, it said that we are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. We go to Psalm 119, if it could be shown here. There we go. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Psalm 119 is a very long psalm, has 22 parts, one part for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We have just the very first part for this morning. But when you read a Psalm 119, you will hear the same words coming over and over again. Commandments, statutes, law, precepts, word. And we think of what we need to do. How we are to keep his commands, his statutes, his laws. Certainly that's a part of it, but the word law, the word word, actually has a bigger meaning to it. It's God's instruction, his teaching. And that teaching includes what God has also done for us. That bigger meaning, larger meaning, will come in handy a little bit later in the message. But for right now, let's go back to what we are to do. The commandments, the statutes, the rules, the laws, the precepts. You notice on Psalm 119, the first word is blessed. Blessed are those who are blameless. Blessed are those who do no wrong. Blessed are those who are diligent with their whole heart. Blessed are those who are steadfast. Well, that calls into question that word blessed. Actually, these can be quite devastating words, very burdensome words. When you start hearing blameless, no wrong, diligent, whole heart, steadfast, because none of us can do that. None of us should be blessed. Take our money. Our Lord wants us to be generous with our resources. And yet we can certainly find all sorts of ways to spend it on ourselves. I believe we've already heard about Black Friday for the last six Fridays already. There's all sorts of commercials. Sue and I were at Costco yesterday and we saw two 75-inch TVs going right out the store. It's really quite easy for us to be able to spend a whole lot on ourselves and barely enough left over to be generous. Or take our time. We're to be generous with our time, our Lord says. But we can find all sorts of things to do with our time instead. Time in front of a TV, in front of a computer, on our phone. Time relaxed. Time binge-watching some show on Netflix. And so we're not as generous with our time as our Lord would want us to be, as he's commanded. Or with our words. We have to be generous with our words, but good words. Words that build up. Words that are encouraging. Wonderful words for somebody else to hear. And yet, we can be all too quiet. generous with the wrong kind of words. Blameless, no wrong, diligent, whole heart? No. If the first word up there is blessed, take a look at the last line. Do not utterly forsake. Our lack of generosity simply means that God should forsake us. But he does not. Because there is one who is steadfast. One who is blameless. One who did no wrong. One who did with his whole heart and mind and body and hands and feet did exactly what his Father commanded. Jesus had a purpose, and he carried out that purpose diligently, steadfast, blameless. And what did it bring him? He's the one who's forsaken instead of us. On the cross, darkness covers the face of the earth as he hangs there. And in the midst of that darkness, Jesus simply goes through the worst of forsakenness. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that minute, he is plunged into the darkness of total loneliness, separated from anyone and everyone, including his Father in heaven. It is the depths of the darkness of loneliness and pain, and we actually call that hell. I've always appreciated the cross here at Timothy. Most of the time when you see a cross, it is a brown color, wood. But ours is a stark black color. Think about that Good Friday, Jesus in the darkness. It's not just black because it's dark outside. It's black because Jesus is being forsaken, plunged into the depths of total darkness for you and for me. He is taking the punishment. He's taking our guilt, our death. He's abandoned so we will not be forsaken. And out of that comes a blessing. The blessing is this. When he rises on that third day in the light of day, he sends his Spirit into our lives, just as the Spirit with the washing of water in this baptism came on. That Spirit, his Holy Spirit, comes into our lives to turn those devastating and burdensome words from Psalm 119 into words that can be delightful. Actually, ways that can be delightful, even beautiful. Generous words of delight and beauty. In Deuteronomy 6, the Old Testament reading for today, we heard these words. I command you this day, these words shall be on your heart. You teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You bind them as a sign on your hand and frontlets between your eyes. When we think of generosity, we usually think of something huge and big. You write out the big check. You devote years of study so that you can be present in somebody's life or know just the right words to say. But Deuteronomy 6 says it's the little things in life, when you're lying down, when you're sitting down, when you're standing up, when you're going on your way. It's all the little things that add up to generous giving. Let me give you some examples here. With our money. Well, I was out visiting a student, and I needed to fill the car up with gas. So I stopped at a gas station, put gas in the car, and then I pulled the car up to the convenience store to go inside for a couple minutes. And as I got out of the car, there on the pavement was a $1 bill. Pastor, it was not a $20 bill. It was not a $10 bill. When it wasn't even a $5 bill. It was just a dollar bill. Well, I picked it up, put it in my pocket, went inside, came back out, got in the car, started to leave the parking lot, and there at the entrance was a man sitting and asking for money. Now, I don't normally give money to somebody who's asking for it in the parking lot because I have no idea what they're going to do with it. I find my generosity in other ways. But this day, I had this dollar bill that I just found in the parking lot. Just a little thing. But I was on my way, sitting in the car. And so I stopped and just gave the dollar bill to the man. It wasn't much. Just a little thing. A tiny bit of generosity. But in a way, that command to be generous was a moment of delight. Something new. It's the same for us. Generosity may be writing a big check, giving to church every week, but it could simply be a little food for the food bank. Something given to goodwill. A small amount given to somebody in need. See, generosity with our resources is also the little things that come with us every day of life when we're lying down or sitting or on our way. Generosity. It's the little things that add up together. Or with our words. Generosity with our words. Sue and I were out eating at a restaurant. Actually, a sit-down restaurant. But if you know what's happening in the restaurant business, they don't have enough staff. They don't have enough people waiting for you. And we were at this restaurant. It was fairly crowded. And they only had a couple servers. Well, we sat down, had our menus, and then we waited. And waited. And waited some more. Something about being generous with patience at that point. Well, we had our order taken, and then we could look at the kitchen area where the chefs were working, and this also had curbside service. And we could see all the tickets just lined up. So we waited and waited some more for our food. This is really good food when we got it, and then afterwards we waited for our check until I finally stopped one of the servers for our check. Well, this would have been one of those opportunities to be angry. But we left a generous tip. And then as we got up, I saw both the servers over at the computer putting in somebody's order or a credit card or printing out a check or whatever the case may be. And so I just walked over there and said, "We could see how hard you are working. And it's pretty a tough evening for you. Just wanted to say thank you for the way you served us this evening." And walked away. It was a little thing. Just a few words. Didn't take more than half a minute. And yet, for those two servers that evening, I would think those words were a delight to hear. Even something beautiful. Just a bit of generosity with words. Sometimes you need a lot of words in generosity. Other times it's just a few words. When you're sitting down, or on your way, or standing up, or lying down. It's the little bits of generosity that make a difference. And one more with time. I got an email one day, and it was from one of the students who works in the after-school programs down in St. Louis. And he said that two boys at the after-school program at Bethlehem Lutheran Church had been in a car accident over the weekend. One of them was killed and the other was in critical condition. Could we bring Noah Comfort Dog down to Bethlehem Lutheran Church after-school program, 3:30 to 5 o'clock? Well, I happened to have Noah that afternoon at the seminary with me. I opened up my schedule and there was nothing there between 3:30 and 5 o'clock. So I took Noah down there. And while we were there, Noah did his thing. The kids got to pet him. The staff hugged him. But then the moment of generosity came when Pastor Bowling stood in front of the class and simply talked about Lazarus being brought back to life by Jesus and how the resurrection gives us hope even in a tragedy like this. Just a few minutes of generosity or time produced a beautiful moment when Jesus' resurrection was shared with kids in after-school program. Yes, generosity can be big. A big check, a lot of time, whole bunch of words. But when you get to Deuteronomy 6, and you hear about lying down and sitting and on your way and standing up, on your hands, in your mind, or the gospel reading with your whole heart and soul and mind and will, or Psalm 119, steadfast and diligently, it's the little moments of generosity that really make a difference. In the middle of Psalm 119, in between the word blessed and the word forsake, is a prayer. You go down there, it says, "Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes," with a little exclamation point. I'd like to end this morning by having us join in a prayer. A prayer in which we don't see all those words like laws and commands and precepts and rules as burdensome and devastating, but we see those words as delightful, producing beautiful ways of generosity. So please pray with me. "Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes." Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding fill our hearts and souls and minds and bodies with that steadfast in keeping God's commands. Amen.